And welcome to Inside Out. I'm Emma Tracy and I'm coming to you from the Edinburgh Fringe, an enormous arts event that takes over the Scottish city for the entire month of August. What's funny about losing your sight? I'm blind from birth, so I actually wouldn't know. But my guests are experts. I've brought them into the BBC studios in Edinburgh for a chat. We've got Glaswegian stand-up Jamie MacDonald. His Edinburgh show this year is called High Viz. Why is it called High Viz?
I've called it High Viz because I realised, I think after losing my sight, I stick out even when I try to blend in.
Absolutely, instantly spottable, even when I'm trying to be kind of cool.
Give us an example of that.
Actually, a good time I did was in a supermarket where I apologised to my own hand. When you've got the fruit and there's mirrors that separate the fruit, there's mirror partitions. Well, I went for this apple and so did this other hand. And I got it, and the other hand just missed. Oh, sorry, it was my own hand. So that was quite slightly embarrassing.
And Georgie Morell, A Poke in the Eye, is her Edinburgh show, and it's about that time she went blind for a year. What's funny about that, Georgie?
Yeah, I know on paper it doesn't sound funny, but I think the funny comes out in the everyday of it, the mundane. Trying to adapt to life and the little things. And as well, the people amongst you, the things they say and do is comedy gold.
Comedy gold.
That, yeah. Oh, yeah, you couldn't make it up. And the reason it's as funny as it is they have the best intentions. It's all good intentions. They just fail epically.
I made Jamie give me an example. So you give me an example of someone saying something in the best of intentions, but it ending up in your show.
Two that stand out was a good friend of mine I've known for a long time. She's very, very sensitive. And she turned around and said to me, if she could give me her eye, she would. And you can appreciate the sentiment, can't you? That's how she thought and felt about it. And it's like, yeah, that's absolutely no help to me. Or my brother trying to cheer me up by putting a spider in a glass and it nearly going on my face. Disguising it as a glass of water. Now that sounds horrible, like a really horrible prank, but it was his way of trying to keep things the same because he would do that whether I could see or not. He didn't care.
So he said he was handing you a glass of water, but in fact it was a spider in a glass.
Thankfully my mum intervened in time because that would have been awful.
You're a bit of a spider. You're scared.
I'm not mad about it, mate. I'm not mad.
What? How did you lose your sight?
Just burning building, went in, beautiful girl, top floor, rescued her, back out, lost the sight the next day.
Right.
No, retinitis pigmentosa. It's a genetic thing. I've got RP, which is a kind of degenerative retinal disorder, which kind of kicked in. So I had it technically all my life, but it kind of started to manifest itself kind of early to mid-teens.
And did you have some early sight loss situations like Georgie?
Yeah, but more so, I quite like the people that gave you kind of, you know, are you sure you can't see type thing. So, you know, if you can see that, you can see that big tree over there. Yeah, I can see that big tree. Oh, you can't be that blind then. All right.
Terribly sorry.
I didn't realise. You're absolutely right.
So how did you lose your sight, Georgie?
I was diagnosed with a juvenile arthritis when I was 3, and that very quickly led on to uveitis, secondary glaucoma in both eyes, which is the long and short inflammation of the eye and pressure buildup. So they just took a battering over the years, for want of a better word.
I don't think many people realise that that happens with arthritis. Arthritis, I sound very Irish now. It comes with arthritis, doesn't it, sometimes, sight loss?
Yeah, it's an odd thing to get in a young person. It's not very common, but more common than you think. Arthritis and glaucoma are associated with being a lot older, but it can affect little ones, as it did me.
So
they come hand in hand, I can't work that one out. They just tell me, yeah, it just does go over
it. It's not a natural thing,
no,
is it?
No, it's not to do with the immune system going in on itself, having a bit of an argument, and then that's one thing, and then that causes another, and there you are, really. Dr. Georgie for you. Good night.
Yeah. Keeping it light and airy here, lads. Mm. What's the early part of losing your sight like? What's it like to go blind? What's the first? I'm laughing because I can't believe I'm saying this. You know, asking comedians this and asking them to be sort of funny about it. But you know, your show is about it. Your show is about the first few weeks and the first few months of not having any sight?
It's because it's so horrible. It's taken us both 20 years to come to terms with it. And this is the only way we can channel our frustration.
Yeah, there's a lot of people said that to me. You're doing it as a sort of therapy. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if I go as far as that. It did take me, several years to work it out myself and in my life and my future. But I think comedy is a good way to approach people with subjects that people can get a bit concerned about, and you're disabled or you can't see. And it's like, no, there is, you can approach it in a lighter way. And I find that connects with people better. Make a few jokes about it, they ease in, and then you can tell them your story.
Your story is about going blind very suddenly.
Yeah.
And for a year. So tell me a bit more about that.
The left eye went blind in my teens, and then the right one decided to follow suit when I was about 21. And it did happen suddenly. We didn't expect it. The eye was quite stable, the condition was. But decided it just wasn't having it, and went.
Was it quite good at the start? Was it the...
The
quite
right.
good eyesight, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's still pretty decent now. Yeah. I mean, considering the surgery it then had to go through. To get it to where it is now. It was sudden, it was terrifying. And then I went through sort of a denial, actually, which is a bit strange.
Does a blind person go through denial? How does that work?
Everything's fine, it's fine. I can carry on as normal until, I clearly couldn't. And needed to desperately adapt. I was 21 and I'd moved out and was sort of semi-independent. And then disrupted my parents' lives by moving back, and they were my carers. And, screwed their lives as much as it did me. not that they ever complained.
Well, you even took the spider out your glass.
Yeah, spider. Yeah.
But they might have been a tiny bit overprotective.
I mean, find me a mum or a dad that wouldn't be in that situation.
Your mum made you take a bath with her in the room? Is that
yeah, she wanted to help me have a bath because, to be fair, I was knocking things over every chance I got, and I was a bit of a liability. So she was right to do that, but it was just, to make sure I was all right. It wasn't necessary to have her there, but to be fair, I would have knocked a few things over.
Just put in a bubble screen.
Yeah.
And did that ever happen to you, Jamie? Anything?
Did Mum ever bath me at 21? No, yeah. I was left alone actually in the bathroom. I'm a shower man myself. no, I never. But my parents, very very protective, very nice. But because you would be. But I suppose Georgie's different. That she was from 21. They were dealing with that, whereas I was a lot younger, and it was maybe more. It's more of organic rather than suddenly something major and life-changing happening when you're 20s, when you're already quite established as a person.
Yeah.
Whereas I was just like, I was just a wee boy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as you say, it happened more slowly, I guess.
Sort of came up with a system of different things, me and my mum and dad, so things would be kept in the same place. And sort of by having her with me in the bathroom, sort of to work that out, where was it best to put things that were in easy reach and stuff like that. And we stopped giving me glasses. I drank out of bottles for a while that had tops on because I was just loving it, just knocking everything everywhere, sort of splashing it about.
Then, Georgie, you went and got some sight back. So you were blind for a year and you got some sight back. What was the trickiest thing about actually getting sight back?
Getting your mum out of the bathroom.
Yeah. Come on, mum, it's fine.
I can see now, Peter.
I started to adapt to not seeing, and then I had to adapt to seeing again, which is, that was an interesting process. Your body had a whole new sensory stimulus to accommodate. And depth perception as well. I had to renegotiate that. I mean, my depth perception, it's not great with the one eye anyway. I just had to change all of that around and register things differently. That was really, fun's the wrong word, but...
Depth perception is seeing the height of steps and...
Height of steps. So as we're talking, there's a desk in front of me, sort of registering how close that actually is to me. Everything's sort of 2D.
Yeah. Mm. But not having had any of that for a while, it was hard to bring that back into play. Yeah. Mm. So, Jamie, you didn't get your sight back after a year.
No, not after a year. No, it just gets worse and worse, mine. It's degenerative. But there's stuff going on at the moment. You know, you kind of keep up with the science of it all.
Groovy stuff, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
That?
There's a lot of very, very well visioned mice out there.
Yeah.
A lot of rats legging it through mazes.
See-through walls, all sorts.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we do like to ask that question here on Ouch. If there was a cure, would you go for it?
Oh, I can't think of any reason why you wouldn't. Would you, being blind from birth, would you?
I don't know. It depends on how much of my life would be taken up with with not even readjusting, with learning everything. You have to realise I have no visual brain at all. I don't even know if that could grow. You know, I don't even know if that could, if that would work if sight was put in there. So I can't say yes. I actually can't say.
Yeah,
and also, my whole identity is blind and without sight, and it would very much change. I feel it would change who I am as a person somewhat. But I'm not going to lie, it would make things an awful lot easier. I mean, driving would be a big thing. But then if driverless cars come along, that would sort that one out.
I still reckon they're not going to give blind people driverless cars.
Why not?
I don't know why. I'm just sure. I can see more risks there.
Go on.
A driverless car?
Hmm.
Well, why blind people shouldn't use them? Well, I mean, I think because nothing is infallible, and if a blind car is going ski with, you won't know.
I just don't think.
Sorry, a seeing car.
I just don't think they're a good idea anyway. I can just feel. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a nervous Nelly. I don't know.
I think you two just don't like change.
You're the one that wants to stay blind.
So, feeling the return of vision for you, Jamie. You tend to observe life blind in your shows. You know, you call yourself that funny blind guy.
I call myself that funny blind guy because I started this about 3 years ago. This is my fourth Fringe show, and then the first year I hadn't really done much stand up at all, and I was trying to think, you can't just rock up onto a stage with a white stick and not, so you've got to make a poster for the Fringe. You've got to make some kind of, you've got to have some kind of honesty with the audience that you are coming to see a blind comedian, because I don't think you just have pictures of me not and then pulling out a white stick on stage. I just personally don't think that's fair. So I thought, how best to broach it? So I thought, sod it, I'll call myself that funny blind guy, and I'll have a picture of my head poking through a Venetian blind. So it just, that, you know, there's just no way they don't know what they're getting.
You do talk about being blind a little bit, so maybe.
Oh no, it definitely flavours up the whole show, because it is kind of observational.
Well, it's no different from any comedian. You've got your edge, your that one thing, whether it's in our case eyesight or lack of, race, political view, past job. It's something that gives them that edge, and that sparks a whole show.
Yeah, and it filters into all bits of your life, like when you go on holiday.
Well, why? Funny you should mention that. I talk about going on holiday to when I was a lad's holiday. I went on to Magaluf with my friends, and I picked up a nickname out there, and it was Granny, because I would sit at a table drinking every day till it was time for somebody to take me to the toilets. You know, so.
And you know, that's what I think. I laughed harder at that than other people in the show, because I know what you mean, because you go on holiday, you're somewhere completely new, and if it's somewhere like Magaluf or Ibiza, then you're in one of the resorts, and everyone's drunk and half clothed, and there's like swimming shoes, like beach shoes everywhere. You just can't navigate. Can
it's,
you?
It's just you are just totally out of fish out of water, really, aren't you?
So, you are.
But it was funny though. I did find out what the Spanish is for disabled toilet, which is beautiful.
Go on.
Incapacitado, lavidavo. Bueno, eh? Love it. Absolutely love it.
Can we all say that now?
No.
Incapacitado, lavidavo.
No, you got to put the accent on incapacitado.
Incapacitado. What was the rest?
Lavidavo.
Lavidavo.
It was a more Basque accent there. But you really want to go for Mallorcan.
It's a good name though. I'm gonna keep that on file.
I want to know, wherever I go now, I try and find out the names for disabled toilet, because actually European accents, European languages like German and stuff and Spanish and French, a lot of them, whereas we say disabled toilet, sounds okay, like incapacitado, like incapacitated lavatory. You know, it's quite, the German's probably like, man without legs. You know, so it's they're sometimes quite brutal in their starkness.
They're indicative of the language as a whole.
Yeah, it's like, because Germans, I mean, they call gums, you know, tooth gums, call it tooth meat.
Oh.
You know, it's just quite harsh. Yeah, but then your earwax is ear fat. Orange mulch.
Oh, God.
How's we going to this? Brustwarz, that's your nipples. That's your breastwarz.
This is German, by the way. This isn't Spanish. I know a bit of German.
The other thing that I could identify with in your show, Jamie, was the taxi journeys. Now, little things like you mentioned the seatbelt noise. I don't think any sighted person even registers the seatbelt noise.
That joke, it does hit a lot with people that can't see, and other people, they kind of clock onto it, but it's not as prevalent, because I talk about this taxi driver, this taxi trip I took, Georgie, and this guy was a horrible guy, a Glaswegian taxi driver, private hire guy. I describe him as if a lung tumour could talk. It would speak like this guy. Just like, everything was terrible, ruined, the world was awful, messed up. And I talk about, he didn't wear his seatbelt. And because I know this, because the wee pingy alarm thing, you know the wee pingy alarm
thing?
Yeah, it wouldn't shut up. And I said,
bung, bung, bung.
I said, is your alarm broken? And seriously, with an air of a man who thinks he's gotten one over in the world, he said, no, as a taxi driver, I am exempt from wearing the seatbelt. I got the pinging stops in 90 seconds. It's like, fantastic. We'll just listen to that for a minute and a half.
I'll just let that drive me nuts.
But then at least you'd be listening to that rather than the next inevitable question that comes as soon as the pinging stops.
Well, I got, you don't look blind.
Yeah.
That's right.
You don't look like there's anything wrong with you. There isn't anything wrong with
you. How would you like me to look to you? I got a list of other disabilities you'd prefer to be.
Oh, yeah.
That was brilliant. I'd rather be deaf. Fantastic. Wow. So you do guys didn't choose blind, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, God. He was awful.
What happened in his life to make him that way?
If you want to know more about this, come and see my show.
Yeah, go on. Plug it.
Oh, my show. My show, High Viz, is on at Assembly George Square, Studio 4, for the whole run at 9:05 p.m.
Every single day?
Every single day, apart from, I think, Monday the 15th.
Yeah, we all have the 15th off. What do we do? Do we all run away?
I've got my parents-in-law coming for dinner.
Oh, have you?
Oh, gosh.
In Glasgow. Couldn't believe it.
Oh, one night off.
One night off. Oh, hi. Come on in.
Georgie, okay, you plug your Edinburgh show as well.
Thank you. A Poke in the Eye is on at Just the Tonic, The Caves, at 1 p.m. Also every day, except the 15th, because we're all, I don't know, we all meet up or something and have a party. And I'm also not doing the 12th, because I've got to go to my brother's wedding.
Thank you so much, Georgie Morell, for coming in.
You are quite welcome. It's a pleasure.
And thank you to Jamie MacDonald as well.
Thank you very much. It was a very nice time.
You've been listening to Inside Out. I'm Emma Tracy. If you want to hear or read more Out stuff, go to bbc.co.uk/news/disability. You can find us on Twitter at BBC Ouch or like us on Facebook. Thank you very much for listening and goodbye.